Would you please stand? Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star looked to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? And not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Love, how can it be? amazing love. I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Cornerstone Community Church. It's great to see you here this morning. And if you're joining us online, hello, we see you there too. kids, grades three and under, you can be dismissed to Children's Church at this point. And we have a question of the day to kind of introduce yourself to somebody you might not know. Share about an experience that made you feel rich. Doesn't have to be monetary, of course, but share about it. There's not many of those in my life. I don't know about you. But yeah, kids, have a great time. And Nate will be up in just a minute.
Settling down. It's good to hear all you guys' interaction. Thank you, Matt and the worship team. It's always great when I don't have to lead worship and I can just worship with you guys. I just stopped singing for a minute, just heard all of you guys singing behind me, and I just joined you in that way. But it's good. It's good to share the opportunities on a Sunday morning, so I appreciate that. We do have communion today, so I'm just going to say to the live stream audience, if you guys are with us live stream, maybe from South Africa or Vermont or wherever you might be today, you are welcome to join us. You can grab a piece of bread, you can grab some juice or whatever you have, even if it's just water, we're okay with that. But if you want to participate with us in communion from live stream, we're okay with that. So feel free to join us fully today, live stream, and everybody who's here in person, you got the sun in your face. You might want to move back a row or something. I don't know. It's bright. Welcome to Cornerstone. Welcome to Cornerstone. Are you feeling rich today? Some people, is this a trick question? Yeah, sort of. I'll share my rich story. Last summer is my rich story. My parents took our whole extended family on a cruise to Alaska. And I'm telling you, Norwegian Airlines, like, to spend a week on one of those things makes you kind of feel rich. Like, and I went for the food. Like, that was, like, why I went. You can sit down at the restaurant, and there's no prices on the menus. You order whatever you want. And I had heard that this was true, but it really is true. You, two orders of appetizers, two main entrees, just for one person, they don't bat an eye. You start to feel a little rich when you're doing that kind of thing. My son was like, yeah, 9:30 at night. You just go to this restaurant that's still open, order whatever you want. Like, you're in eighth grade, and you just get whatever you want. Like, a week of that? That felt pretty good. But I started getting nervous about it, too. I mean, I enjoyed it the first few days, but then it clicked with me. My kids are having this experience. They're being conditioned. What are we going to do when we go to a restaurant in the normal world? Because when I go to a restaurant today with today's prices, I do not feel rich anymore. So it was a pretty great experience being on that cruise ship, and I felt kind of wealthy in the moment. But you know what? Spending a week in Ephesians chapter 1 made me feel richer than that. Much. Much richer. And I want to share that with you today. I want to share the riches that I am digging out of Ephesians 1. There's so much good stuff. So if you're not feeling rich today, that's okay. That's okay, but my goal is for you to walk out of here feeling like maybe you need to share a little bit of your wealth with Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk to even things out a little bit, because you are wealthy. If you're a follower of Jesus, your wealth is incomparably greater than that of Jeff or Elon. It really, really is. And this is not some hallucination. This isn't some kind of head game that we play. This is truth from the mouth of God. And we can receive it. It's offered for us. So Ephesians chapter 1 is where we're going to be today. And just kind of picking up from what we talked about last week, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are followers of Jesus, also known as saints. We talked about last week, you are a saint if you're a follower of Jesus, and God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, is that a lot or is that a little? That's a lot. Good, good answer. It's a lot. It's way a lot. But some of us say, yeah, but spiritual blessings are not the same as like actual money. And you're right about that. They're better. Why are they better? Why are spiritual blessings better? Because they won't burn up in a fire. They can't be stolen by thieves. And it's impossible to spend it all. I'm on that cruise ship, and they had this unlimited cache of food. They're like, didn't matter how much we ordered, they always had more. That's how it is with these spiritual blessings. There's all, you cannot spend it all. And our spiritual blessings last forever. The first blessing Paul raves about in his letter to the Ephesian church is that as a follower of Jesus, I was chosen by God. Chapter 1, verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I was chosen by God, chosen to be his. And we talked about that last week. And we talked about like, okay, so wait a second. Do I choose God or does he choose me? And what's the answer? Yes. Yes to both. Yes, I choose him, he chooses me. And we can argue about that, or we can choose to bask in it. I suggest we don't need to argue about it. God chose us. You know, my parents paid the price tag for that Alaskan cruise. That was pretty awesome. But I still had to choose to go. I still had to step onto that ship. And would it not be ridiculous for me to fight about whose fault it is that I'm on the boat? Wouldn't it be a lot better idea just to be grateful for the one who paid for it? God chose us, and that's awesome. But it gets even better. There's more. He's not done. This is like the first few verses of the letter. What does he say next? Verse 5 and 6. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. What does he say there? Not only did God choose me, but as a follower of Jesus, I'm adopted into his family. You know, it's one thing to invite somebody over to your house for dinner or to a party. To be adopted? That's another level. We're not just chosen to be friends. We're not just chosen to be, okay, let's spend some time together. Adopted? This is what God has done. adopted into his family. As a follower of Jesus, I'm adopted into his family. And again, like we talked about last week, it uses this word again. It uses this word predestined. He predestined us to be adopted. That he made that call before time began. And that makes us scratch our heads. We don't get that sometimes, but I was predestined to be adopted as a son through Jesus Christ. So you and I, brother, you and me, sister, we're called to be sons through Jesus. And it's okay if that freaks you out for a second, but you, through faith in Jesus, you're called to be a son. Regardless of your gender, if you're adopted by God, you're adopted as a son. And I'm going to explain why before you like walk out. Like, we're not all changing here. We are, but the way he calls it, we are adopted as sons. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about why. The Greek word is a compound word, meaning you mash two words together, okay, in the Greek. And you don't have to be an expert in Greek, but there's two words mashed together, this adopted word. And I'm gonna teach you a little tiny bit of Greek. This huiothesian, okay? Everybody say that. Huiothesian. You're a Greek expert now. It's two words from huios, which means son, and tithemi, which is the verb, which means placed. So we're talking about placed as a son. Adoption means you are placed as a son in the family of God. Why does that matter? Well, you might not realize this, but in those days, women had no inheritance rights. Women could not inherit property. It was very, very rare. Occasionally, in the Old Testament, you can see it, and every once in a while, but usually, a woman had to be attached to a man to get an inheritance. That's how it was. Paul is teaching the Ephesian church and us that in eternity past, God chose men and women, anybody who has faith in Jesus, to be adopted as sons into God's family, which means we all get access to the inheritance. Male, female. So the fact that we're considered sons is not showing gender preference, it's actually leveling the field, saying that regardless of your gender, by faith, God brings you into the family as a legal heir with full inheritance rights as a member of God's family. So whether you're male or female, it's your relationship to Jesus that gives you the right to the inheritance of God. And by the way, what is our inheritance through Jesus? Eternal life. Anything else come to your mind? I mean, that's enough, right? But I think of it as heaven and earth. Eternal life in heaven and earth. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. It's God's, right? The earth is the Lord's and all that is, and that's only part of our inheritance because we inherit everything. Heaven and earth, it's all ours for eternity. Most of you guys know, a lot of you know that I spend a lot of time up on the Pinnacle in Hamburg, and I write sermons up there, and I read, and I just spend time with God, and I do that on Tuesdays. So this Tuesday, if you remember, is a gorgeous day. It was incredible. And I was up there, I was sitting by the reservoir and the spillway, and the water was coming down, and listening to that, feeling the sun and the cool breeze, and it was just really enjoying being out in God's beauty as the next season of leaves begins to pop. And it's like, I love to be there when that happens. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about this verse and this truth and this reality, and just looked around like, all of this is mine. It's mine. And yeah, it's true, people have divvied out sections of our planet by continent and country and state and city and town. And we can individually buy up pieces of our planet and pretend it's ours for a little while. Some of us own a home. But whose is it really? Uncle Sam, no, actually no, it all belongs to God. Guys, Elon Musk thinks he's going to plant a flag on Mars and be the first to claim it. Okay? And he may succeed, but I'm telling you, the deed to Mars is already claimed. It's owned already. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. The artist is the owner, my friends. The artist is the owner. So go ahead and pioneer, Elon. I don't have a problem with that, but it is not an open frontier for the taking. You're playing in someone else's backyard. And it's fun. I wish you the best, but it's God's. Beginning to end. And through Jesus, I and you are adopted as sons with full rights to the inheritance of the universe. Are you feeling rich yet? I hope you're starting to. We've got more to look at. The next two verses, verses 7 and 8. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Read that again. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Guys, process that for a minute. As a follower of Jesus, I am redeemed and forgiven through Jesus' blood and by his fully informed grace. And if you're using your program and taking notes, some of you start to twitch if there's a space that's not filled in yet. I'm going to go back. There's some stuff in parentheses beneath each point. We're going to go back to that and fill that in later. So if you're doing the notes, it's okay. We're going to come back to that. But right now, I am redeemed and forgiven through Jesus' blood by his fully informed grace. Do you know what redemption is? Do you understand redemption? It's a deliverance. It's a rescue. Redemption can be defined as a releasing. Let me see if I can find it here. My clicker is only sometimes working. There we go. That was easy. It's a releasing affected by payment of a ransom. Redemption is a releasing affected by payment of a ransom. There is a ransom required for redemption to happen. That means it's not at all like choosing teams for kickball in gym class, like you go over there, you go over here, you go over there. It's not like that. It's not just like separating people. It's more like the Israeli hostage situation. That's more like what we're talking about. People imprisoned, hungry, mistreated, abandoned, held by hostile forces, where the cost of rescue is significant. I don't know if you're tracking, but as far as I know, there's still over 100 hostages being held by Hamas. Guys, it's been like 6 months almost. That is a long time to be held in captivity. Can you imagine being held by terrorists for several months? Do you think they're staying in nice hotels? Do you think it's like the cruise? They can order whatever they want? They're hungry. They're not showering. They're in a not comfortable situation. This is a nightmare that will not stop. I don't know if you followed any of the stories, but imagine the relief of the 4-year-old Abigail. 4-year-old Abigail released back to her family after 50 days in terrorist hands. 4-year-old. 50 days. That's redemption. Guys, that's redemption. And it took an all-out war to get her back. Buildings were bombed. Tunnels cleared. People killed. Anybody want to move to Gaza now? Like, Gaza is just a wreck. Nobody wants to go there. And sadly, Abigail's rescue is not a perfect picture of redemption, because when she was captured, both of her parents were killed. So she's back with family, but it's not the same. It will never be the same for her. As of February 14th, 105 hostages have been released. Many had been killed, I think 30 or so, they think, and around 100 still remain in captivity. When you think of being redeemed by God, Don't think about dividing up a bag of cookies, one for me, one for you. Think of it as a hostage crisis. That's more like the redemption Jesus purchased for us. We were hostages too. We were held captive by sin, dominated and ruled by the prince of darkness who runs this whole operation. Some of you felt that more than others. But I want you to hear what Paul says in the second chapter of Ephesians about that. And we're going to get there to a greater degree, but we'll talk more detail, but I want you to see it now. Paul said this in chapter 2, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." We'll talk more about that in a few weeks. But I want you to see how Paul describes the condition we're in pre-redemption. This is our situation, pre-redemption. We were a lost cause under the dominion of Satan, oppressed and ruled by evil, deceived, even unaware of our reality. We didn't even understand. We're participating in the evil ourselves. But like thinking about that situation, how dark that is and how horrible that is, how could we be ignorant of that, of such evil, such darkness? It's pretty simple. It's all we knew. It's all we knew. We were born that way. And think about the difference between the little girl who was taken by Hamas as a 4-year-old and a different little girl who was born into it. Who was born into the terrorist organization. You know there are babies born into that organization? There are. And they have no idea. They experience the same darkness, and it's unpleasant, but it feels normal. That's all they know. Until they experience redemption and realize, oh, there's something better. How many kids grow up in a situation like that that's abusive or really dark? And then finally, someday, they realize, wow, there's something better. There's something different. Guys, you and I were born in sin. We naturally followed the ways of the world. We made choices that left us not only victims of other people's evil, but also participants in darkness itself. We just grew up in it. We brought guilt on ourselves too. So you and I, we have been hurt by evil, and we've participated in it. It's true of every single one of us. Leaving us in need of both redemption and forgiveness. And Jesus came to give us both. Jesus came to give us both. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. The blessing here, we are redeemed and forgiven through Jesus' blood and by his fully informed grace. And the second verse here, verse 8, is worth noting. He says, with all wisdom and understanding. That just hit me hard a few years ago when I saw that. It just nailed me. Wait a minute, with all wisdom and understanding. You know everything. Guys, there's some of us who feel like we're not worth redeeming. There's some of us who feel like, why would he want to redeem me? All the stuff I've done, all the stuff I've been guilty, all the stuff that's messed me up, that's wrecked me. You carrying the burden of shame wherever you go? Some of us are. Carry a lot of shame. I want you to understand this. With all wisdom and understanding, God knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly what you've done. Everything you've done, everything that's been done to you. So whether your shame has to do with what you did or what someone did to you, God is completely aware of that. And he still wants you. He still chooses you. God's redemption brings freedom, not just from the bondage of our sin, but also from our shame. Freedom. Real freedom. God, because God wanted me in spite of it. He knows about it. There's nothing hidden from him. Whether you want to or not, there's nothing hidden from him. And he chose grace for me, knowing all the dirty details. Even the things I would be guilty of after I became a Christian. He knows it all. Things when I should have known better. He knows that too. He knows that with all wisdom and understanding. Redemption, forgiveness, the riches of his grace. Come to him for that redemption. Receive the healing that he offers. Trust him with your shame. Guys, this is good. This is good. Better than money. Better than money. I like money more than I should. This is better. No doubt. Well, there's one more section, two more verses we're going to look at today. Verses 9 and 10. And, Paul says, there's more. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. What's that? What's he talking about? As a follower of Jesus, I am included by God and informed of his plans, and my future is wonderful. I am included by God and informed of his plans, and my future is wonderful. How do I see that? He says he made known to us the mystery of his will. He didn't have to tell us anything, but he wanted to. He told us his secret plans. Here's what you need to know. Now, the word mystery in the New Testament most often refers to something that at one time was hidden, but now has been made known. A mystery revealed. And it's usually talking about the mystery of the gospel. There are two aspects to that. The first aspect of that mystery, is that through Jesus, even Gentiles, Jew and Gentile, can be redeemed, forgiven, and adopted into God's family, not by keeping the law just right, but by grace. We don't have to keep the law perfectly. We can't. We have to trust the one who did. The sacrifice of Jesus was the ransom that rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. The second aspect to that mystery has to do with, where is this all going? We can be redeemed now, but where's it going? And the mystery will be ultimately fulfilled, verse 10, when the times will have reached their fulfillment to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. So one day, everything in creation will be operating under Christ as king. Is that the way it is today? It is not. But one day it will be. Is Christ king now? He is. Has everyone bowed the knee to him? They have not. Okay? So this is true. This is what's going to happen. There will be one head, even Christ. He'll be over all things. Everything in creation will be operating under Christ as king. So we do not look forward to a coming kingdom in memory of Jesus. May he rest in peace. He lives. And he's coming back. And dozens of prophecies in the Bible point to this coming day when he will physically return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's actually going to happen. In my lifetime, I don't know, but it's going to happen. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you go to school, to public school, it's hard to imagine that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They confess Jesus Christ all the time, but not as Lord. It's going to happen. That day's coming. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And as redeemed, forgiven followers of Jesus, we get to be joy-filled participants in that kingdom. It's part of our inheritance. It is our inheritance. We get to be members. charter members of the kingdom of eternity. Now, I need to be clear about this. This is really important. There's a whole lot of misunderstanding about who gets to be part of the forever kingdom of God. Who gets to be part of it? There's a lot of people that say, we're all children of God. Maybe you're one of them. Everybody's children of God. And those people that say that are right to a degree. We are all God's children by order of creation. God made us, so we are his. The artist is the owner. That's true. But we are not all God's children by process of adoption. There is a very important difference. Adoption comes through faith in Christ, which is also where our inheritance rights come from. Without adoption, you cannot be an heir of God. This is important for you. This is important for all of your friends and all of your family. This matters. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Meaning you must experience spiritual birth through the Holy Spirit who comes through faith in Jesus. John chapter 1, just going to help you see where's this coming from. John chapter 1, the very beginning of John's gospel, verse 12, says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to what? Become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, out of a mother, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Are you born again? Are you born again? If so, everything we've talked about in Ephesians chapter 1 is yours. It's already yours. But if you're not, none of it is. None of it. Yet. Yet. But it can be. How? Receive Christ. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Somebody wants to become a child of God, he will not turn anyone away. Here's another scripture that's really important, really good. Romans chapter 10. This is after Paul. He writes this to the church in Rome, and he's written 10 chapters already about the gospel, the mystery, the beauty, what it is, what it isn't. And he gets to chapter 10. He says, here it is, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified or declared righteous, declared right with God, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is the good news. Our part is to transfer our trust from ourselves or whatever we're trusting in to Jesus as the only one who can make us right with God. We trust, he saves. Are you born again? I want to circle back around to where we started. This is where you get to fill in that the parentheses if you're doing your notes. As a follower of Jesus, who am I? As a follower of Jesus, who am I, and how does that influence my relationships with others? I want to think about that. So each of these four points, it has a relational connection. Being chosen, right? So I am chosen. I'm really struggling with this clicker. I think we need a new battery. I don't know. But as a follower of Jesus, I am chosen. I'm chosen by God, which means I don't need someone else's approval. I've been chosen by God. I don't need somebody else's approval. I'll have some people's approval. I won't have others, but I have God's. He chose and wants me. As a child of God, I'm adopted. Shannon, can you just kind of help me out? As a child of God, I'm adopted into God's family, which means God wants me even when others reject me. You feel rejected sometimes? You feel like people just turn away from you, don't want anything to do with you? Like, you are adopted into God's family. Not just invited to dinner, adopted into the family. Others reject you? Okay, well, at least I'm accepted by God. It gives us strength when relationship problems happen, because they do. Next one, as a follower of Jesus, I'm redeemed and forgiven through Jesus' blood and by his fully informed grace, which means I can let go of my guilt and shame. Because Jesus already took it and he replaced it with his loving kindness. That's a good trade. You got shame still? You still hanging on to some stuff? He wants to swap with you. I used to swap baseball cards. You try to get a good deal and stuff. You know, I always play Monopoly. I always did really good with a swap, and I always made out. I always won. This is a good deal, guys. Your shame for his loving kindness? Man. These realities that you're looking at up on the screen, they give us incredible security. This is a foundation to stand on. I don't get my security from other people. I don't need to get my security from other people. A lot of times we do. We try to find it from other people. Like, will you accept me? Will you like me? Can I fit in with this group, these people, this family situation? Like, I don't get my security from other people. I get it from God. If this is where you're coming from, if this is your reality, your security comes from God. And check this out. This passage, did you notice the spirit by which God has done all these things we've been talking about? Did you know? I didn't make a big deal of it, but I want you to see it. I want you to understand. Verse 5, he says, in love he predestined us to adoption in accordance with his pleasure. Verse 6, he has freely given us. Verse 8, the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. Guys, what does it tell us? It tells us that God delights to do this. It's not like, yeah, you don't deserve it, but I guess I'll give you a little blessing anyway. He's thrilled to give us these blessings. He loves to do this. Every spiritual blessing in Christ, God is not some miserly benefactor, some filthy rich grandfather who despises the idea of sharing any of his wealth to his unworthy heirs. It is not that way. Not with God. He can't wait to see this fulfilled. There's only one thing holding God back from complete and total fulfillment of all of this. Kingdom come, Jesus reign, put on your crown, rule the universe. What is keeping him from doing it now? Do you know? He's waiting. Because not everybody's been chosen has got on the boat. There's still more people. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is not slow. Sometimes Jesus said, I'm coming soon. And some of us are like, what in the world are you talking about? What is soon with about 2,000 years? If I want dessert, I'm not going to wait 2,000 years for that. He's not slow. He's patient. So there's more people that still need to come. Maybe you're sitting here right now and you're one of them. Maybe you're on the live stream. Maybe it's your friend. Maybe it's one of your family members. He's waiting for them. He's waiting for them. And maybe for you. This is God's heart. He wants to share these blessings with a whole lot more people. And I don't know when that day's going to come. But I got to ask you, are you born again? And if you are, who do you know who still needs to be born again? Pray for them. Love them. Tell them about Jesus whenever you can. Next slide. This is the last thing, kind of reviewing the four main points we talked about today. As a follower of Jesus, I am included by God and informed of his plans, and my future is wonderful. What does that mean? We know where all this is going, right? Which means we don't need to be afraid of the present or the future. And we have zero reason to feel envy about what anyone else has. We don't have any reason to feel envy at all. considering the blessings we talked about, the inheritance that is ours, guys, we are beyond rich. We are beyond rich. My friends, this is the good news of the gospel. This is the good news. This is the stuff that shapes our identity. This is who we are. Chosen, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, included, and informed by God. We are His, and He is ours forever. Are you feeling rich yet? Because this stuff is real. Guys, this stuff is real. There was a time when the Apostle Peter was going to the temple to worship. And at the entrance to the temple, there was a crippled man begging for money. And he reached out to Peter, can you give me some spare change? You remember what Peter said? He said, I don't have money for you. But I'll give you what I have. I'll give you what I have. You remember what happened next? He healed the man. He was not expecting that. Maybe a couple coins so he could buy his next meal. He got healing. He jumped up. He ran into the temple. He was jumping and leaping and praising God. My goodness. Peter gave him God's blessing. That was a whole lot better than a few coins that day. And I can't give you piles of money. I don't have piles of money. But I can show you the way to the treasures of heaven. Receive them. Receive them. God is eager to fill your cup, to overflow it with His goodness. Maybe there's a skeptic or two here or watching online. How can I be sure this is actually true? How can I know this is real? How can I know God really wants this kind of relationship with me? Guys, it's pretty simple. Comes back to Jesus. He really literally died on a cross. He really literally rose from the dead. And He really literally promise He will raise to eternal life all who trust in Him. That's what it comes down to. And because of that, these blessings are for today and forever. They're ours. The stuff is real. Is it yours yet? I hope it is. And if it is, how is it influencing your relationships? How is this foundation helping you to have a solid footing for your relationships? Through Jesus, you have a stability nobody can shake. That's the truth. So I'm going to ask you, what's your next step? And there's two sides to it. The first is if you're not sure what you believe about Jesus. If you're not sure yet, can you get two ideas, two suggestions? One is to begin reading the Gospel of John. And I would ask you, ask another Christ follower to help you understand it. Somebody who's been walking with Jesus. Read the Gospel of John and walk with somebody through it. Another idea, I love this movie, The Case for Christ. It's a movie about Lee Strobel's path from skeptic to Christian. You can watch the movie. I don't know if it's on Netflix, where it's at. You can find it multiple places. But we also have copies of the book downstairs on the information table. They're free. So you want to read a story, take a book. It's free. You don't even have to bring it back. They're on the table downstairs. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus, then maybe this clicker will work. And maybe it won't. Shannon, you got me. Okay, if you are a follower of Jesus, review these benefits we talked about today. Ask God to help you truly embrace them as your own. Like some of these things you've known for a long time, but you haven't absorbed it. So maybe you're going to read through the book of Ephesians this week, the whole thing. Maybe you'll memorize some of it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 10. It's kind of a long section. It'll take a few weeks. But man, there's some good stuff in here that's worth soaking in and getting it in there. Memorize it. I love to memorize. That's how I feed on God's word. Another suggestion is to attend a home group to join the conversation about today's message. Maybe you need to talk about this some more. And then one more. Make this commitment. I'm going to pray for, I'm going to love, and I'm going to share Jesus with people I know who still need Him, who are not yet born again. Take a minute, you and God, what's your next step? Let's pray together. God, these things are amazing. And some of us have trouble comprehending and absorbing them. So God, give us the ability to absorb these truths, these realities. And Lord, for anybody who's not yet put their faith in you, put their trust in you, God, give them the courage to do that. Give them the faith to believe in you. Help them. God, thank you that you are waiting patiently for more and more people to put their trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. I thought it'd be appropriate thing to do as we talk about forgiveness, redemption, adoption. And so for those of you who may not be familiar, celebrating communion together is a way to actively express our faith in Jesus, to say, I am a child of God. I believe. And Jesus established this practice a long time ago, but it was only hours before he died, before he went to the cross. He took a loaf of bread. He took a cup of wine. He shared it with his disciples. He told them, this bread is my body. It's broken for you. This cup is my blood shed for you. He's talking about what's coming up in just a couple hours. He said, you eat this bread and drink this cup. You express your faith in me. That they're receiving him by faith, by taking these elements. We believe you, Jesus. We are with you all the way. We're following you, even though they're going to turn away and run away in just a few hours after that. And they come back, just like us, right? But Jesus also said at that Last Supper, he said, I want my followers, all my followers, my future followers, to continue doing this as a way to remember my death, my resurrection, and to renew their trust in me until I come again. It's a tangible, physical thing we can do. So we're going to give you guys a moment to talk to God on your own. And then if you are a follower of Jesus, this is for you. If you're not sure, you're still questioning, that kind of thing, just stay in your seat and just talk to God and let this thing happen. But if you're a follower of Jesus, I invite you. You're invited to come up to the front. Take a pack of crackers, maybe one per family. You can break the bread together in your family unit if you're with some people today. But take some of the bread, take a cup back to your seat, and then together we'll take it all as one. So if there's kids in the room, it's parents' decision whether, you know, you guys decide if your kids are ready for that or not. That's up to you. We don't have any kind of bouncers or anything like that. This is between you and God, but we do this together. So I'm going to give you a minute, and live stream audience, if you want to join us, we welcome you to join us too. Lord God, we thank you for this beautiful gift that you've given us, a way to remember. We're so good at forgetting, we're so good at drifting, and yet you have given us ways to come back. And so I pray that in this moment, if there's one or two or 20 or 50 who are here who need to come back, that we would do that. We come back to you and say, no, I am going to follow you by your grace. I can't do it, but your blood ransomed me. God, I pray that as we come to you, it would be real. Not just some practice that we do, not just some motion, but it'd be a true act of faith. Work in each heart, God. Thank you for your body broken for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now just take the next minute or two between you and God, and when you're ready, come on up and take the elements. Matthew chapter 26 is when this first supper happened. The disciples and Jesus had a meal together, and it says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Let's do this in remembrance of him. After he took the bread, it says he took the cup. He gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. He said it's the blood of the covenant, the forgiveness, and the Jewish people, they understood you had to sacrifice an animal to have their sins covered. And John the Baptist said, Jesus is the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. It's his blood that pays for our sins. Let's do this in remembrance of him. Lord God, we are so blessed. We are so wealthy in a way that you look at wealth. Not the way people look at wealth. We are so wealthy to have Jesus as our benefactor. The inheritance is ours because of what Jesus has done. We're adopted into the family of God. We've been declared friends, intimate. You love us. You like us. You want us. God, help us to overcome these obstacles in our minds and in our hearts. It says we're not worthy. Of course we're not worthy, but you said, I don't care. I love you anyway. God, help us receive that. Make us new through the power of your Spirit in us. Make us new. God, thank you that you've given us the riches of your grace and that we can do this and remember what Jesus did for us and be thankful all over again. So we thank you, we praise you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Matt, would you come up and lead us?
You can stand. You're going to have to stand. You can't sit for this one. Well, maybe you can, but. Give me 1 second. I got to remember the verse that I looked up earlier. Oh, yeah. Okay. John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And Jesus said that to the apostles, but it extended beyond the apostles. Because if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, that means he died for you. And he calls you friend. So we're going to celebrate that fact today. And I think it's extremely appropriate after celebrating communion together that we sing about how we are a friend of God. God, sing that. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call. Is it true? that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me, that you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me? Is it true that you are thinking of me, that you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
Good morning, everyone. Just a couple things to share coming up next week. Pastor Brito from the Independent Church in India is coming March 24th, next Sunday. We have partnered with the Independent Church in India for, I don't know, many years. So Pastor Brito has been here before. If you've not had a chance to hear from him, come next week and you can hear his update about what God is doing in India and their ministry. And there's always good stories that he shares. There will be a love offering collected at the end of that. If anybody's interested or you want to think or pray about that, just a heads up that we will do that after he shares. In 2 weeks, it's Easter. And Grace Church in Kutztown has a sunrise service, and they've invited us to join them. That is going to be at 6:30 a.m. in the park by the football fields and the tennis courts, but probably by the pavilion where we had our anniversary party, if anybody attended that, in that area. So if you want to attend the sunrise service, 6:30 in the park, we are still going to have our regular service at 9 a.m. So if you don't want to go to the sunrise, that's fine. You can still come here at 9 a.m. and regular service will happen. In your programs, there's more announcements you can check out. You can always tear off this little guy and put it in the offering box that sits at the back of the church. You can share your email if you want to get connected, prayer requests. And I think that's all I wanted to say. Yeah. There are snacks and fellowship downstairs if you guys want to hang out longer. Otherwise, have a great day.